Hey, everybody, welcome to the program. As always, I'm glad you're with us. I'm glad you're tuning in with us. 97.1 FM, 1450 AM, and wherever you are at NorthIdahoRadio.com. It's Tuesday. This is Speak Up. My name is Barbara, and our guests today are Cornell Razor. He's our state representative. He's down in Boise serving and working for us, and he's calling from Boise. Joining us here in the studio is County Clerk Mike Rosedale. So we're just going to go straight to our conversation with State Representative Cornell Razor. Cornell, I appreciate your taking time to talk to us today.
Glad to do it, Barbara. Thanks for bringing me on.
Well, I know you're busy, so let's just get right to. I'm looking at HB 752. Sometimes they get new numbers, the bathroom and locker room legislation. I understand that just got out of the Senate committee after a successful vote in the House. What's the prognosis for this?
Well, the prognosis is that it's probably going to go to the governor. Pretty fair guess that it'll pass on the Senate floor. It passed in the House, I believe it was 54-17, and it passed through Senate Judiciary and Rules on a party line vote. And I understand that it will go to the House floor within the next couple of days. I haven't had a chance to check to touch base with Senator Ben Caves, who's carrying it. I've been way too busy, but I intend to try and find out from him today what day it's going to go on the floor so I can let people know.
All right, excellent. So out of committee, that is a major hurdle, and onto the Senate floor soon. Do you think the governor will sign this bill into law?
Yes, I think he will. We were careful to make sure it was passed constitutional muster, and so I think he will.
All right. I am interested. I think it's Bill 660. It has to do with the law enforcement reporting process for if they arrest someone, they need to determine their immigration status, their legal status here in America. Where is that? And why was law enforcement, at least for a while, opposed to it?
Well, this bill would add new section to Chapter 30, Title 67, that would require state and local law enforcement agencies to verify and record the immigration status and the nationality of arrested individuals. And then it would include biannual public reports, and it authorized the withholding of state funding if they didn't comply. Now, the misunderstanding was somehow they got the idea that the arresting officer on the street had to verify nationality on the street. He did not. There's a process in arresting, a process in a criminal action that goes from the arresting to actual detaining in jail, and then later on trial, pretrial hearings, etc. The booking department. So let me back up just a little bit.
Yes.
A lot of police departments, most police departments, if not all, don't have jails. So they don't do the booking. They arrest the official. They arrest the individual, turn them over to the county, which has the jail. At the booking, that county who's doing the booking would then determine immigration status. And that has to go into a report that's presented twice a year. It's not like they have to get that information to the state within an hour or a day or 48 hours. It's information that is given twice a year. What we're trying to do is we're trying to get a count on the immigrants, the illegal immigrants we have. They're occupying our jails. They're using our hospitals. They're being educated in our schools, and we have no way of knowing how many there are. It's just an unknown right now.
And it's
so
a number,
that was the main thrust. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and that's a number that we need to know.
Well, we do need to know. We have some pretty good educated guesses as to how much money is going. And it's somewhere in the upper $400 million range, which is a lot of money that's being used to fund the illegals that are in our state. But this would have been a bill that would have given us numbers that are being arrested. So we would at least know how many illegal immigrants coming into the country are breaking the law in the country.
So it would have been, sounds to me, did it pass the House? And I think it got stalled in the Senate. What's the status?
It's still stalled, as I understand, in Senate state affairs.
Okay, in the committee. Boy, those committee chairmen have a lot of power, don't they? They can, as they say, I think you call it, put it in the drawer, and that's where it may stay.
Yeah, they do have a lot of power.
All right. I want to talk to you about another bill that you have sponsored, and it's got a Senate number, Senate 1296. It's the Church and Worship Center Trespass Bill. Tell our audience what that is, please, and what's the status.
Okay, so that bill is actually through the Senate, and I haven't looked today, but will probably be signed by the governor in the next couple of days. So what that bill does is it clarifies a specific criminal trespass offense for entering or remaining on the premises of a church or house of worship when their presence is clearly not permitted. So to be convicted, an individual must have to possess specific intent to intimidate, harass, or disrupt a religious service or assemblage. Now, what happens is, in Idaho law, well, actually in any law today, it's very specific. So let me give you just a quick example of what happened down here. A while back, someone was hit on an electric bike. And because Idaho statute requires due diligence for automobile operators to watch for bicyclists, that would have been fairly easy for the person to receive damages. And if they had to sue in a court of law, they would have been upheld fairly carefully and fairly well. But because it was on an electric bike, now get that, Barbara, not a regular pedal bike, but an electric bike, it was far more onerous and they were not able to obtain damages. So one of our representatives passed a bill, HB 500, this year that specifies electric bikes. So that's basically what S-1296-6 does. There's already laws against trespassing, but this specifies trespassing with the intent to intimidate, harass, or disrupt a religious service or assembly.
Oh.
So that's what this bill does, and it gives protections to people who, if they trespass somebody and remove them from the church, if they call the police and the police come and arrest them, it gives them protection for that very action.
All right. That is very good. And, you know, the details, I think sometimes we hear, you know, not in the committee meetings or maybe not hearing all the discussion, don't get all the nuances and details. But I think this is a very good bill. Are you happy with its final form?
Yes, I am.
All right. Excellent.
Yes, I am. I actually came down here with a trespass bill, church trespass bill that I worked on with people in Bonner County. And when I got here, so I don't want to waste a lot of your time, but really quickly,
yes.
when it's in RS form, routing slip form, it's possessed by the person that has it, the senator or the representative that carries it. So he's the only one that would know about it. Once it becomes a bill, then it's public knowledge. Well, when I got down here, I didn't know if there was another bill like that in the works. So I was talking in a committee meeting or in a meeting one morning, and a senator overheard me, literally. And he came up to me and said, I have a bill like that. We should get together. We should collaborate. So we ended up collaborating, and his bill was better thought through and already inserted in the proper area of Idaho law, so the trespass law. So I ended up signing on to his bill and helping him with his.
All
and
right.
That's how I ended up on that, on 1296.
All right. Excellent. Thank you for that detail. I want to talk about taxes. There were a couple of things. The legislature, again, did not address the issue of trying to get rid or actually getting rid of sales tax on groceries. But there is an adjustment, an upward adjustment on our grocery tax credit. I'm again wondering, where is that? Did that pass the House, pass the Senate? Where are we on that? It's not a very big increase, but at least it's an increase.
So I guess that's one.
231.
Yeah, what's the bill number?
231, House Bill 231. Nothing was done on...
So that's not in this session. That was in the last session.
Oh, you mean last year?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I must have been looking.
Yeah, 2025.
Okay.
Yeah, there's nothing in the works in this session right now.
Okay, I know how I got that information then, because I was inquiring about grocery tax remission exemptions, and it pointed me back to what they did last year. So we didn't
Yeah,
get
that
an
would be quite
increase
quick.
this year of our grocery tax credit?
I'm
No,
not seeing
nothing.
anything in the books on the mark. I'm not seeing a bill on the mark here
Okay.
anywhere. And
Okay, real quick, I've got another one that the data centers were granted exemptions, sales tax exemptions to attract them. And I just felt property tax, I think these are exemptions for, no, sales tax for data centers. I just have problems with some of these big, powerful groups getting these exemptions. What do you think? What happened there, and what's your position?
well, I'm unfortunately unhappy too with Idaho picking winners and losers like that. But this was done before I was in office. So what H-897 did, that's the legislation, is it amended the sales tax exemption, because data centers were given a sales tax exemption for construction and for purchases. Well, I think the original intention was just for the servers. So that's how this bill changed it. They're no longer given exemptions for the construction of the data centers. If they buy lumber, if they buy cement, they've got to pay sales tax on it. But when they replace their servers, they still have that sales tax exemption on that. That is only good for 20 years, and then it goes away, and then they have to start paying sales tax like the rest of us.
Yeah, well, 20 years is a long time. There's another one, and I apologize. I don't know now when I'm looking at sometimes what year I'm in, but House Bill 760 granted property tax exemptions for workforce and affordable housing. And again, it's like picking winners and losers. I just don't agree with these selective exemptions.
Yeah, so this was H-760, which provides property tax exemptions for qualified workforce and available housing developments.
Right.
Let's see. It would. I actually believe that bill violates Article 6 and Section 5, Article 7, Section 5 of the state constitution, because it creates selective exemptions. And I voted no when it went to the floor. I
Okay.
voted no on the do pass recommendation that it went to the floor.
Did it
I'm not.
pass?
It was sent to the floor. Let
Oh,
me see if
you
it.
voted in committee. Do
Yeah, I
not.
voted in committee.
Okay, no, yeah.
I voted in committee and again on the floor. What day was this? It's in. I don't know if you've been seeing my session notes that I put online.
I have. They're very good. They're so detailed. It's hard to keep up with. I don't know how you keep up with it. I just gotta
Well,
confess.
I'm 12-hour days. So that bill, I still argued that it violated the Idaho Constitution. It passed 3928. I voted against it. So
Okay.
it did pass.
There apparently is an initiative. This will be my last question. Apparently, there's an initiative that is going to be going around, or at least an attempt to get the required signatures to get a repeal, a total repeal of the 6% sales tax on groceries. And if they get everything they need, it'll be on our ballot this November. Do you have any comments on that or any knowledge about what's going on with that?
So that's a voter initiative, and I don't have any comments. I know that we did provide, our central committee provided signature pages at the county fair last fall. So we tried to help out with that. You have to have, I don't remember what the exact requirement is. I believe it's 20% of the vote, and it has to be in at least 18 of the 44 counties. And I
Yes.
don't know how close they are on that.
Okay. Well,
I haven't heard.
all right. Well, I'll try to follow up with that in future programs and see if I can find out who the people are. I know it's a voter initiative, from the ground up, so to speak, and which I think is a good thing, if it's done correctly and within the law. So, we will keep our eye on that. Cornell, you are just the best. God bless you and the work that you do. I know you're off to a committee meeting, so we're going to release you to go
Thank you.
and continue to work for us down in Boise. Thank you, Cornell Razor.
Thank you, Barbara, and you have a great day.
Thank you so much. Bye now. All right, everyone, that is your hardworking state legislature. He is running for re-election in our primary coming up in May, and he is state representative in seat 1B, and so you have an opportunity to support him or not, to vote for who you think you want. He is a hardworking guy, that's for sure. All right, everybody, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we have a lot of election news for you from Bonner County Clerk Mike Rosedale. So let's go to that first break, and we'll be right back after this.
The Easter Bunny's on its way. Sandpoint Superdrug has all the supplies you need to enjoy the Easter weekend with your family. See what's new for this year's spring season in the best gift store in town. Home decor, practical gifts, games, fun knickknacks for the whole home, and lots more. Their Ace Hardware Department has power tools, hand tools, and gardening supplies for all your spring chores and projects. Sandpoint Superdrug is Sandpoint's original one-stop shop.
We all put things off, but some things shouldn't wait. Colorectal cancer screening is one of the most important steps you can take for your long-term health, and it's easier than ever. Whether it's a simple at-home test or a colonoscopy, your care team at Kiniksu Community Health is here to guide you every step of the way, because staying well is easier when you have a team looking out for you. So don't wait, don't worry, and don't sit on it. Get screened. Schedule your colorectal cancer screening today at Kiniksu Community Health. Visit kchni.org or call to book your appointment.
At Highmark Heating and Cooling, whether it's an air conditioner tune-up for your current cooling system or installing a new one, Highmark Heating and Cooling will do whatever it takes to keep your family comfortable this season. Call to schedule an appointment or visit us at HighmarkHeatingandCooling.com. We're your trusted Bryant dealer, serving Bonner County for over 20 years. Bryant, whatever it takes.
Ready for a new ride? Wheels and Waves has used cars, trucks, motorcycles, and new and used boats. All credit types welcome. We make financing simple. Get approved today. Visit wheelsandwaves.com or call 208-818-4767.
Are you ready to pedal for a purpose? Saturday, June 20th, the 18th annual Chafe 150 Grand Fondo in beautiful Sandpoint, Idaho, sponsored by the Sandpoint Rotary. From the epic 150-mile loop around the Cabinet Mountains to scenic gravel routes to the 25-mile route through the Selly Valley, there's a distance for every cyclist. Supporting the Every Student Graduates a Reader initiative and other literacy programs in the Lake Ponderay School District, pedal through paradise and change a life. Register now at chafe150.com.
Are you ready for this week's Lucky Number Tuesday at Bi-Mart? Just by matching your ending number this Tuesday, you'll win 2 bags of Party Animal cookies from Franz. Thousands will win. Plus, buy 2 bags for just $1 with Tuesday-only pricing. Match your entire number, and you'll win other great items, including Mega Masters Tabletop Grill. Or save $20 with Tuesday-only pricing. Thousands win every Tuesday on Lucky Number Tuesday at Bi-Mart, where you just match and win.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. We, as always, have it going on for you on Tuesday at the Speak Up table. And my guest here in the studio is Mike Rosedale. He is the Bonner County Clerk. And so I have a lot of questions for you.
Great.
And I'm pretty sure you have all the answers. Oh. So the first thing is polling places. There is one change this year. What's going on?
There is. So for the vast majority of you, it's the same place you always go. So no changes there, except for Sagal. If you used to vote in the Mormon Church, now you're going to be voting at the Kokalala Bible Camp. The Mormon Church had an issue with their facility, and they couldn't host us this time. So for this time at least, and for the rest of the year, we will be having Sagal Precinct vote at the Kokalala Bible Church.
Well, Sagal Precinct must be a pretty big precinct.
They're all pretty big.
Yeah. How does somebody know what precinct they're in?
You can go to our website, bonnercountyid.gov, and it's the elections tab there. And there's a button that says, where do I vote? And find my precinct. So go to the find my precinct. You'll type in your address, and it'll tell you which precinct, and it'll give you the address. And on the map, it'll show you where that is.
That is so very cool. I love the WFSA. I guess it's the whole Bonner County WFSA. It's not just your department.
We are on the Bonner. We have our own sub website, but if you go to Bonner County, we're one of the buttons you can select.
Exactly. Select the clerk, I think it is.
It's elections.
Elections. Okay. So it's bonnercountyid.gov.
Yes.
And that gets you to all of this wealth of information. You can find out what precinct. And I'll tell you, if you're out there listening and you're like living in Sagal or somewhere, I mean, you need to find out, is this going to affect you, or are you in a different, I suppose there's parts of Sagal that are further toward the Long Bridge, and so they're not voting in the southern precinct, or what?
Right, so they're split up in different ways.
Yeah.
Another thing you can do when you go to our website, not only can you find out where you vote and what precinct you're in, but in early next week, we're going to have all the ballots uploaded, and you can find out exactly what's on your ballot for your party. So you'll have your unique mix. There are 73 different ballot faces, and I can't give you a generic ballot because there's 73 different kinds. Some of us will have the same. We will all have the judges, but after that, it gets mixed up.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to go, or sometime next week, you'll be able to go onto our website, what's on my ballot. You'll type in your name, and it'll find you, and it'll pull up your exact ballot.
So it's a sample ballot unique for you.
Yes.
Explain us again. I think there are a lot of people that don't understand that we don't all get the same ballot.
Right.
You know, not so much what's on it, but what are the different issues or boards or ability to vote on different things that makes them all, some of them, very different?
Sure. There are legislative differences. So District 1 and District 2. District 2 is the south end of the state, so obviously we're voting for different
senators.
South
end of the county.
South end of the county, correct. We have different fire districts. We have three different fire districts that are putting a levy. Actually, two fire districts and a school, Lakeland School, that are putting levies, and we're not all in those districts or schools. So just the people that live in those have those questions. We have central committees for the Democrats and for Republicans, and the each precinct has their own person on the ballot.
Yes.
The precinct itself is an office, a position.
A precinct
so
committee.
So only
person.
That precinct gets that particular position on their ballot.
Right. On the other hand, just to hopefully not confuse you, but assure you, on the other hand, there are two open positions that are county commissioners. Those candidates, there are three districts in the county for county commissioners, and the commissioners and the candidates have to live in the district that they want to serve or are serving. But everybody in the county gets to vote for all of them. So to vote for... You know, you vote for all of the commissioners. There are two guys running and seats that are open, and everybody gets to vote no matter where.
Exactly. So the commissioners for District 1 and 2 are up for election, and those candidates are going to be voted on by everybody in the county, not just their particular district.
They live in District 1. One lives in 1, one lives in 2, but everybody gets to vote for both.
Right.
It is a little confusing but just don't think about it too hard. Just get your sample ballot, get informed, and go to your polling place and do your best. Be a responsible voter.
Yes, exactly.
You don't have to understand somebody else's ballot.
Exactly right.
All right, so let's make sure that all of our audience is registered. What is the process for being a registered voter in the state of Idaho?
Okay, there are certain fundamental requirements. You have to be a U.S. citizen. You have to be at least 18 years old on election day and reside in Idaho. Now, your birthday can be on election day, so you may not be 18 yet, but you can still vote if your birthday is on election day or earlier, right?
Or earlier.
Right. Then you have to show the proper ID to prove some of these things. So you need a valid Idaho driver's license or an Idaho ID card or a passport or tribal ID card or a concealed weapons permit. If you have something like a passport, that doesn't necessarily have your address, in which case you also need to prove your address. And this is where it gets tricky for people. You have to, and I'm going to say this in English before I get to the details, you have to be able to prove three things that tie together: your face with your name, with where you live. Those three things you have to prove. So a listed photo ID with the correct address, like your driver's license, exactly. A valid Idaho driver's license.
And it's got a photo and exactly. Your address, you're good to go.
Now you can have a valid Idaho driver's license from a different county, but then you will need to show something with your valid current address, a proof of your insurance, a mortgage or a lease, a rental agreement, or a property tax assessment, or a utility bill, not phone bills, because phone bills, I have my 35-year-old doctor daughter still on my phone bill, and she lives across the country, doesn't work. So,
you can move all over, and your phone just goes with
you. A bank or credit card statement, a pay stub or check, an intake document to a care facility, an enrollment letter from an Idaho high school or university, or a letter from a social service agency.
I just can't believe that would be valid.
And here is...
I'm kind of concerned about that.
So that's where
loosey-goosey
there.
Yeah,
that has nothing to bear on what we do. So the other thing that's handy about this is a lot of people don't get paper statements anymore. So you might say, how can I do this? If you show your poll worker the statement on your phone, because you're going to get an official statement on your phone and you know it, show that to the poll worker and... as long as it has the information that we've just talked about, you'll be fine.
And it's going to your e-address. I don't know. I think that you said, like, somebody may have moved here from another state, so they've got a driver's license in that state. It's got their photo, but not their current local resident. But you told us the last time you were on that a person has to be here 30 days.
That's correct.
Before they can do this.
You have to be where you're planning to vote for at least 30 days. So if you just moved here... less than 30 days before the election. Now that's not the case right now. We have 2 months still. So if you move here today from Iowa, you're fine. But you have to get the deed. You have to get a new bank statement or whatever.
Right.
But if you move here, you know, 19 days before the election, even from in-state, but a different county.
Yeah.
You can't vote here.
In Boundary County.
If you move here from Boundary County. 29 days ago, you have to vote in Boundary County, even though you live here now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And they will let you vote in Boundary County.
They will let you vote.
They'll have the same rules. They'll be really good about it.
Right.
Even though you moved away, a little betrayal there for their county.
That's right.
They're still going to let you vote. All right, so registration, you triangulate your face, your address.
And your name.
And your name. Oh, my goodness, yes.
Right.
Not the alias might use on Facebook. Not the funny name on Facebook, but your real name.
Oh, and let me say this. So our poll workers, including my office when we have early voting, we have a list from the Secretary of State of things that we can only accept. So it's not negotiable. And we have people begging and pleasing, please, you know, let us use this, and we cannot.
What do they want to use? They want to use some weird name like Mickey Mouse?
Handwritten note or something, they don't have it, or they left it, or you know them personally. You know they lived here, but you still have to show those documents. So if I had my sister, who, if she wasn't registered, come, I could not let her vote because she didn't have the right documents.
Well, we know your sister, so I'm not surprised at any of this. Listen, I want to testify to that working, and you've heard the story. It was years ago in Hope. I had filed for an absentee ballot. I got the absentee ballot. I just ignored it. I didn't get it done. I thought, oh, well, that's okay. I'll just go down on the day to vote. On the election day, and they would not let me vote because the record showed I had an absentee ballot. Nobody knew, did I fill it out? Did I mail it? They didn't care that I was saying, no, I haven't mailed it. They said, bring it down, we'll destroy it, and then you can vote.
So I don't know the other details of that, but in today's world with our technology, you could have voted, and what would happen is you would not be surrendering your ballot. You could try to do something fishy, but it wouldn't succeed, and here's why. The minute you say I did we know you have been issued an absentee ballot, you don't necessarily have to, you know, you could come and say I did not fill it out, I'm not surrendering it, I would like to vote in person. You can do that. You would be stuck with the same party that you chose, and you could actually do an election day ballot.
How do you know I didn't?
That's a great question, because in the poll book we show that ballot's been spoiled, and that you took a regular election day ballot. When we go back, the ballots that we didn't scan or wand before the election day, we only wand those after all the poll books come back, and it'll say Barbara Carpenter did not vote her ballot. She voided it and voted in person. If we get your ballot in the mail, you tried to slide it in
sneakily.
You dropped it in our box.
Like your sister.
Right. That's a felony. And we won't let it count. It'll never make it through. In fact,
will I be arrested?
In fact, that's up to the sheriff. In fact, we can't scan it. It will reject it automatically. It's not even an option. It's not a...
It concerns me a little bit because we're so reliant on technology, and
yes,
we know technology, messes up, it burps, it gets things wrong from time. The only one that has not been wrong so far in my lifetime is Amazon. I kind of want Amazon to be in charge of everything. Let's put Amazon in charge of voting, because honestly, they know what I ordered, when I ordered it. They know where it is along the way. They know where it is on my back doorstep. They take a picture of it, and then they ask me if I'm happy.
Well, with the way Amazon's growing, pretty soon you might be voting on Amazon. Who knows?
I am thinking Amazon's got it covered. But anyway, they probably have my picture, and I just don't know it. Oh, we have to go for another break. Okay, that's okay. Oh, okay. Thank you. Register. I guess I'm really cautious, and I do not really trust computer systems.
But and I appreciate that.
I trust you and Terry Schultz and your team and your volunteers.
That
you guys understand what you're doing, and you're here to take care of us.
Hey, before we go to break, let me say, while we're on this topic,
yes.
We will be mailing out the first batch of absentees on April 3rd. This is a reminder, if you have not filed, if you plan to vote absentee and you have not yet submitted an application for an absentee,
with the program.
Do it right now. And if you know who you're going to vote for, do it right away. Every once in a while, we get absentee ballots in the mail after the election day is over, and we cannot count those. We cannot open those ever. They always stay closed. So get them back to us.
Yeah, I think vote in person is great, but I do use absentee ballot if you feel like, you just get really busy. Voting day is a radio day for me, not that I'm on the radio all day, but still, things can happen. So I typically do that, but you need to, and you have to renew your registration for receiving an absentee ballot for one or all of the elections during the year, new every year, middle to late January, they
Correct.
Get the computers opened up and running.
Yes.
Every year you have to ask again for an absentee ballot.
Yes.
I like it.
Yep. And the reason is, if you moved out of state and you didn't do that, you could receive several years' worth of absentee ballots, and that's where fraud could potentially rear its head,
that's
right?
That's why mail-in ballots are before the Supreme Court right now, because even though we use the mail for absentee, the system is completely different.
You're using two different terms, absentees and mail-ins. Those
exactly.
are different.
Exactly.
Absentees, what we use, you have to request it. Mail-ins.
Every year.
Mail-ins automatically go to every person registered, whether
and
they're alive
dog.
Or dead or whatever, until they're stripped from the poll rolls.
And their dog, if they registered their dog, which apparently you can do that maybe in
Georgia. Not in Idaho. You can't do that in Idaho.
Okay. That sounds good. But yeah, they just send them out automatically.
The other states do.
How do we clear, one more quick question before we go on the next break. How do we clear people who have passed away, hopefully to heaven, how do we clear them off the voter rolls
Great
in
question.
Idaho?
We get that all the time. So there are a handful of ways, and it's not perfect. But the funeral homes notify us. We get them from family members. We get them from newspapers, for obituaries, and just from... sometimes the Secretary of State sends us notices too, from a driver's license type of thing. But we get those notices, and it's almost 100%, but it's not probably completely 100%.
Yeah, exactly.
It's but if somebody tried to fraudulently use them to vote, we would check their signatures, and if they don't match, they don't get to count.
There you go. I love Idaho for a lot of reasons. That's one of them. We have a really clean and trustworthy voting system. All right, we're going to take that break right now.
When you win the new Millionaire for Life daily draw game from the Idaho Lottery, you don't just win $1 million a year for the rest of your life. You win the chance to do whatever you want, like bring a hot dog cannon to a wedding reception. But just because you could doesn't mean you should. What would you do if you became a millionaire for life playing Millionaire for Life from the Idaho Lottery? Benefiting Idaho public schools and buildings. Must be 18 or older. Play wise.
Hi, this is Brian Ivey, service manager at Pierce Auto Center in beautiful Sagal, Idaho. With spring right around the corner, now's time to inspect your vehicle after months of harsh winter driving. For March and April, we are pleased to announce the return of Mopar's Buy 3, Get the 4th Tire for only a dollar sale. And with the purchase of a new set of tires, we're offering front-end alignments for $69.95. Remember, our certified technicians are performing same-day oil changes. We work on all makes and models, including Subaru, Toyota, and Honda. Pierce Auto Center.
Spring at the co-op means seed potatoes and onion sets. Patty has Stuttgarter yellow and Ebenezer white onion sets due to arrive mid-March. Both are long-day varieties suitable to our North Idaho growing season. We expect to have 6 varieties of seed potatoes this year, also arriving in mid-March, including the new Huckleberry Gold and Lasota Red varieties. Huckleberry Gold is prized for its low glycemic index. We have some soil amendments already in the parking lot, as well as peat moss, garden straw, and large bags of coarse perlite and vermiculite. And don't forget, we have plenty of garden tools, gloves, hats, hose repair items, and drip irrigation parts in stock now. It's all at the Co-op Gas and Supply Company, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, 208-263-6820, and on the web at coopgasandsupply.com.
Down at the Capitol in Boise, there have been numerous attacks on our public lands. Senator Jim Woodward stood against these attacks and reminded the legislature what it means to be an Idahoan. Woodward has been a relentless champion for our hunting and fishing access and continues to be a defender of Idaho's public lands. On behalf of the PAC for Public Lands, we want to thank Senator Woodward for defending our access and fighting for Idaho values.
Are you ready for this week's Lucky Number Tuesday at Bi-Mart? Just by matching your ending number this Tuesday, you'll win 2 bags of Party Animal cookies from Franz. Thousands will win. Plus, buy 2 bags for just $1 with Tuesday-only pricing. Match your entire number, and you'll win other great items, including Mega Masters Tabletop Grill. Or save $20 with Tuesday-only pricing. Thousands win every Tuesday on Lucky Number Tuesday at Bi-Mart, where you just match and win.
Hey everybody, welcome back in. We are talking now with Bonner County Clerk Mike Rosedale. I hope you enjoyed the first segment with State Legislature Cornell Razor. It was excellent. He updated us on a few items that are going on in Boise that are important, and then he was off to a committee meeting. All right, Mike Rosedale. Well, you were talking before about one polling place that has changed for the upcoming election.
Yes.
And you need to do a little correction on
that. I do. So apparently I have lame duck syndrome since this is my last term, or senioritis. I don't know what it's called. But it is not Sagal that changes. Sagal is where Sagal always is. It's Southside. Southside votes at the Mormon Church. Southside is the one that has to go to Kokalala Bible Camp. I am terribly sorry, and I hope we get to say it again. In case you don't hear this right now, you'll never know I'm talking. But we are going to have this in the newspaper a couple times.
Yes.
We're going to have a list of all the polling places, and then the second ad in the paper will also have all the ballot faces represented, not in a single coherent ballot, mm-hmm. but bits and pieces. It'll be like a monster conglomeration of all the races that you possibly could be voting on, so you can see all the possible candidates and issues.
Excellent. All right. So Sagal votes where they've always voted. Southside's the one that's going to the Kokalala Bible
Correct.
Camp.
You so guys the are, only one that has to listen to this are Southside voters. Southside voters. You need to go to the Kokalala Bible Camp.
And if you're just wondering what precinct you're in, maybe you're new, maybe you've forgotten where you voted the last time, whatever, go to BonnerCountyID.gov. Click on elections and then click on, I don't know, there's going to be a little search thing there. It says, where do I vote? Where's my precinct? And it'll give you all that information.
Right. And regardless of what I say, my polling, my elections manager texted me, said, you
Mike.
Made a mistake. Correct it. So no matter what I say here, go to the website and that will be accurate.
Yeah.
I believe everything else I've said
has been
accurate.
I was going to say all the accuracy that you've done in this program, that was just that one thing.
Yeah, but we corrected it.
Oh, we did.
So it's still accurate.
Awesome. All right. So the next thing that I think people are interested in is for the local elections. There are five local elections. There are two state legislature positions and state senator that impacts Boundary County and Bonner County. And then Bonner County has two open county commissioner positions. So let's do the county commissioner positions here. What's open and who's running?
Okay, in the county commissioner race, we have Zone 1 and 2, Commissioner District 1 and 2 open. So far, Steve Smith is the only candidate for seat one, and he's a Republican, and on this ballot.
And what before you go on, what yes. that means is, since he's unopposed, even if there's an independent running, both Steve and the independent, they move forward automatically to November. They go through the election, you mark your ballot, vote for who you want to
right.
vote for, but both of them will go forward.
There is one unaffiliated that has registered to vote, and he passed jail, went straight to go. So he's all aware, already zoomed to November.
Okay.
Monopoly terms. Well, so he's there. But as far as the person on the ballot, the only Republican, the only person.
Was he in jail when he passed jail?
No. So the county commissioner for District 1, there's only one. It's a Republican. So if you're voting a Democrat ballot, you will not have anybody on your ballot for District 1.
No Democrats.
Right? No. Yes, you will not have anybody because this is the primary and you're voting for your party.
Right.
November, everybody gets the same.
Everybody.
That way. District 2, we have two. We have two Republicans. We have Asia Williams, who is the incumbent, and we have Jeff Roberts, who is the challenger. And those are the two for
the primary. And really, let's take a minute. A lot of people don't understand how important the primary is because these are like two Republicans. Only one of them is going to win and advance to the real election, like the way I think of it sometimes, November,
yes.
where you actually elect the person to the office. The primary is where supposedly the Democrats have their candidate and the Republicans get to choose their candidate, and then whoever gets advanced, they go forward into November.
Right.
So it's important right. to know who you're voting for in the primary.
But the exciting race is Bonner County Clerk.
We have, yes.
Yes. So we have three candidates for Bonner County Clerk.
Yes.
They're all Republicans. Joanne Guzzi is one, Roger Rudd is another, and Spencer Hutchings is the third.
Yeah, I want to let you know that for the two county commissioner candidates, I will have them on the radio for the opposing race. Asia Williams and Jeff Roberts will be on the radio show with me in a few weeks, both of them together talking to you so you can compare and contrast what they say and who they are. And also the three candidates are already scheduled for county clerk. Spencer Hutchings, Roger Rudd, and I haven't spoken directly to Joanne Guzzi yet, but I will, and I'm sure that she will be on here also. So, okay, state legislature, seat 1A. Who are the candidates?
Okay, seat 1A for the representatives. We have a Democrat candidate, Karen Mathey. We have two Republicans. We have Jane Sauter and Mark Sauter. And then for 1B, we have two candidates.
1A, though. The only ones that's opposed is Jane Souter and Mark Souter.
Correct. In the primary, right.
In
because
primary,
Karen Matthey is a Democrat,
the
and she will...
She'll be in
only
November.
On the, she's right. So she will...
She just goes forward.
If she gets one vote, she advances to November. But you do need one vote.
Yeah. But the only one that's opposed is Jane Souter, Mark Souter. No relation, not married. They hardly know each other. No family ties. They're
right.
not cousins. But they do have the last name. So Jane Souter, Mark Souter, they're going to be on the radio. In fact, they're coming up pretty soon, April 14th, I think it is. I'll have the Souter, Mark Souter, Jane Souter on the radio. All right. So then there's state what? Legislature seat 1B.
B. And that is also a contest. So they're both Republicans, and we have Chuck Lohman and Cornell Razor. Cornell Razor is the incumbent in this one.
Yes. And both Chuck Lohman and Cornell Razor are agreed and scheduled. They're going to be on the radio for you coming up in a few weeks. So this is the one place that you can listen for an extended period of time to the two people that are opposing each other. You know, I like candidate forums. I go to them. But they've got 10 people up on the stage, and they just don't get to take that much time for what they and you it's really hard to compare and contrast. So they will be on Cornell Razor and Chuck Lohman, also scheduled to be here on the radio 50 minutes for you to listen to what they have to say. Now the other contest that is really hot is the state senate, and that this affects of course Boundary County, as does the legislature. Who's running in the primary?
So for District 1, we have two Republicans running. We have Jim Woodward and Scott Herndon for District 1, and those are both Republicans. For District 2, we have one Republican and one Democrat. We have Valerie Wade for the Democrat, and we have Phil Hart for the Republican. They are unopposed, so they will, assuming they get one vote, they will advance
November. They advance to November if you're unopposed. But Jim Woodward, incumbent, is challenged by former Senator Scott Herndon, so they also both have agreed to be here on the radio with me, but more importantly, with you. You're going to have an opportunity to talk to them. So are there any initiatives?
There's
a fire levy, Real quick, we've got like a minute and a
couple
half.
Couple seconds. So we have Westside Fire is doing a permanent override, and they are the current levy amount is $675. They're moving it to $1,055,000, an increase of $380,000. And then Westside... or Northside is doing a temporary levy override, and in the amount, let's see, they're increasing it's increasing it by $689,000, and that is temporary as well.
I encourage everyone who's listening to that to talk to your fire district on how that affects your property taxes, because as more people move in, the money doesn't go up. It just, the pie gets cut in smaller pieces. So you want to talk to your fire district and get those important, go to their information meetings and inform yourself. All right. We have two others.
We have the Selkirk Recreation District, and we also have a joint school district 272. And don't forget that Southside is going to be voting at the Kokalala Bible Camp.
Yes, Southside is voting at the Kokalala Bible Camp. I already read. That's the program for today. I appreciate my guests more than you can imagine. I get to ask the questions. They get to give the answers. It's a good deal for me and for you. My America 250 quote today is from Benjamin Rush, a founding father, the signer of the Declaration of Independence, a medical doctor, an educator, and a sincere Christian. And he warned, listen to this, all those years ago, unless we put medical freedom into the Constitution, the time will come when medicine will organize into an undercover dictatorship. Close quote. Can you spell Big Pharma? Anyway, that's my opinion. Benjamin Rush, a very wise man. All right, my guests next week are Tom Lindley. He's the Bonner County Veteran Services Officer, and the Grad Knight President, Justin Croft. They're going to be here to talk about grad night. And then it is my joy to talk to a colleague. David Keyes is going to be on the radio. I'm going to get to ask him all kinds of great questions. So until next Tuesday, this is Barbara reminding us all to please slow down and love each other, and may God bless America.